Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow, what a win for the Bucks! 20-14 over the Carolina Panthers. We're going to break down that exciting game and the goal line stand and the stop by Vernon Hargreaves on Christian McCaffrey in just a minute with my buddy cop, Eduardo Encina of the Tampa Bay Times, on this edition, very early morning edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Hey, folks, if you have a business out there and you'd like to sponsor a part of this podcast, we have lots of new ways you can do that. Our advertisers have a lot of success, and you will too. So now here's what you do. For information, contact us now on Twitter at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFL Stroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. We'd love to have you be part of our team.
All right, Rick Stroud with my buddy cop Eduardo Encina. It is so early in the morning, it's almost late in the morning. We are back from Bank of America Stadium where the Bucks have won a road game, which is unusual for them, especially Jameis Winston. They beat the Carolina Panthers. What was the final? I even forgot. 20-14 on a goal line stand. Vernon Hargreaves knocking out Christian McCaffrey, just a half yard or so short on a fourth and one, really. And the Bucks walk out of here with a win. There's so many things about this game, Ed, that stand out. But I think you have to start with the defense. And really the last 2 weeks, allowing just one touchdown in 2 weeks, just phenomenal by Todd Bowles. I didn't think they could do that with Christian McCaffrey. They completely shut down the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey has been a thorn in their side big time. You know, last year he ran all over them, was the, sideline to sideline guy that they just couldn't stop. And tonight I think it was only 37 rushing yards on 16 carries, I think. His lowest career total when he has 10 carries or more. So that goes to show you what kind of job they did on McCaffrey. And, Rick, when I look back at this one to me, it's a perfect example of how in the NFL, it's the little things. It's turning, it's managing the turnover game, and it really is like literally a thing of inches. You know, I mean, when you look at the Bucs defense, twice they stopped, the Panthers on fourth and one. You talk about the big Hargreaves stop at the end of the game. They had another one earlier in the game that really kind of, dictated a little bit of field position game there. And then, again, the turnovers. They did not commit a turnover tonight. And that's the name of the game. If you can keep teams, if you can be on the right side of the turnover battle, well, most times you're going to have an opportunity to win. So they were able to do that, and they still needed every bit of it, too, to win this game. So, again, it kind of goes to show how fine the line is between winning and losing in the NFL.
Truly is, and Christian McCaffrey came in here. He had, 206 yards, total yards or something like that in his last game. Never came off the field. Has had 150 yards each of the last two games against them. Not only that, but this is going to be the discussion throughout the NFL and certainly in Charlotte, is that Cam Newton is not Cam Newton anymore. This guy's had a surgically repaired shoulder. I didn't think he was particularly accurate with the football when he threw it. There was good coverage at times. He did hit some deep balls, hit one deep shot on Vernon Hargreaves with Curtis Samuel, I think. But for the most part, he doesn't run anymore. He clearly, that foot has bothered him, and just the cumulative nature of all the hits that he's taken, to the point that when they got to the goal line, a very curious call. First of all, let's talk about how Bruce Arians screwed up and his coaching staff, because it's fourth and two at the 3 yard line. And Bruce had already called a timeout. And then I guess Todd Bowles, not realizing this, called timeout. And so you can't call timeouts consecutively. That cost them a delay of game, half the distance to the goal. Now it's just 1 yard for a first down, 2 yards to win the game. And I remember being here a couple of years ago when they had a similar situation late in the game. Cam Newton took the ball and literally almost took off from behind the line of scrimmage after an offsides call by Chris Baker that everybody remembers, and he flew into the end zone. I mean, it was super cam, you know, deluxe. On this one, they tried the Philly special, only tried to fake it. Cam Newton rolls, you know, gets to the end of the line of scrimmage. They put Samuel in motion. Fortunately, Vernon Hargraves didn't go with him. That was the trickeration they were hoping for. And McCaffrey, you know, faked the handoff to Samuel, who in the Philly special would have then thrown it to Cam, and tried to score and stretched out. And it looked for all the world that maybe he got the first down. But the replay and the measurement showed that he was short. Game over. I can't remember the Bucs defense walking off the field like that with a celebration. And Todd Bowles has to be given a lot of credit. I mean, this was a team that gave up 29 points a game. And how about some of the acquisitions they made, starting with Shaq Barrett? What a game that guy had.
Yeah, Shaq Barrett had an amazing game. And, you know, when he was acquired, the big thing was this is a guy who really hasn't had the opportunity to really showcase everything that he can do. He played behind a lot of really good players, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb in Denver. And but one big thing was that he was very familiar with this 3-4 system. And he even actually when we talked to him earlier in the offseason, he was saying like that, you know, his responsibilities are actually even a little bit more simpler in Todd Bowles' scheme because he basically for most of the time just rushes the passer. That's what he's done. He had 3 sacks tonight, including 2 on back-to-back plays,
yeah.
4 sacks overall this year. And, you know, he's already surpassed last year's total with the Broncos. He's not far from – he's almost on the verge of his career high, which was 5.5, I think, in 2016. So this guy is – like you said, it's interesting to see in week 2. We're already starting to see some of these guys kind of emerge as players. You know, the big question going into the season was – how is this pass rush going to, you know, develop without Jason Pierre-Paul? You know, you're missing those 12.5 sacks. And that's a big question. But, you know, I really like what you saw from the outside linebacker spot today. You got Shaq Barrett, Anthony Nelson, a guy
who's
a fourth-round pick who didn't play very much in the preseason.
Played all, right?
Because he was hurt. And, you know, got healthy right at the right time, right before the season started. Was actually kind of a surprise active last week, played, and today he has a big forced fumble, had another big pass breakup, you know, swarming around the ball. And, you know, this is what these Todd Bowles defenses are kind of orchestrated around. It's obviously pushing pressure in the middle and getting these guys who can move on the outside and obviously creating all this disguise of pressure. But, you know, it's actually been really interesting seeing guys like that. And you know, this comes after the Bucs lost, you know, Devin White.
Right.
You know, six plays into the game, basically.
Yeah.
And Kevin Minter, another guy who's been a veteran guy who knows the Arian system really well from his time with the Cardinals, came in and did a really good job. It was a situation where, you know, they probably – I mean, from what Bruce Arian says, is they probably could have played Devin White back in the game. But – you know, you want to be, you know, with a guy of that kind of caliber, a guy who you're banking that much of your future on, you want to be careful with him. But I think a big part is that, you know, they did trust a guy like Kevin Minter to be able to relay the calls and know the defense and be able to hold that responsibility. And he did. You know, he had a really good game, but the way Arian said is that he would give him the game ball after the game. So it's good to see a lot of these kind of, you know, guys contributing, and you're starting to see, you know, we've always wondered about on defense, where were the plays going to come from?
Yeah.
Where were the playmakers going to come from? And when you combine some of those guys, what they're starting to show, what Vernon Hargraves is showing, you know, and I think you're starting to see maybe start some of these leaders and some of the identity of this defense start to take shape.
I talked to Kevin Minter and he said, look, I played in this defense for a long time. I played on an NFC championship or a team that was in the NFC championship game. It wasn't a big deal for him to step up. Also heard from Devin White, who admitted that. He goes, look, they told me we're going to be cautious here. He was wearing a knee brace after the game. My guess is he'll get an MRI and see what's going on with that. He didn't think it was serious. He said if it wasn't week 2, maybe they'd have put him back out there. But it's so early in the season, they don't want him to go out there and then really injure it and be lost for any significant time. But real disappointment for Devin White because the first week he has tonsillitis. He ends up in the hospital on Friday. Lost about 10 pounds, you know, had a difficult time even playing, managed to play that game, played pretty well. And really, their whole defense has. But that's been the biggest surprise. You know, there was a little subplot with Gerald McCoy playing tonight. He actually ended up hurting his team with a personal foul penalty during one of those drives. Got into a little fight with Ryan Jensen, which is not unusual. He wasn't going to apologize after the game to the Bucks, certainly. And he didn't apologize for the penalty, but it mattered. It mattered in the drive. It was, you know, of all the games that they were going to play, this one was almost critical in a way because, you know, next week they host the New York Giants, which is a football team they should beat or can beat. But starting 0-2, everybody knows the stats. You don't have a very good chance of making the playoffs. Now the Panthers have lost two games at home, which is really difficult to make up, including a division game. And so that's precious. Now everything is possible for the Bucks. They come home, they play the New York Giants, have a chance to get their second win. This was enormous. And how about Jameis Winston, who, you know, look, myself, a lot of people nationally, I was watching all the pregame shows, really all over Jameis for that first week with the three interceptions, the two pick sixes, feeling like this guy's never going to be any different. But we've seen this, Ed. He comes back from bad games with good ones, at least in terms of not turning the ball over.
Yeah, and you know, I think the big question coming out of that first game was more, like, where's his comfort with this new offense?
Yeah.
You know, you could tell he was trying to dump the ball off, but he still wasn't making good decisions. Now, today, you know, you look at the stat line, and, you know, I think it was 200-something yards.
Yeah.
But the big thing is the zero in the interception column. And that's, you know, he made sure that he managed the game. You know, there was a big part where, just like in the San Francisco game, where, you know, they went to the run game. You know, they started killing the clock in the fourth quarter with the run. The last the touchdown drive that they had in the second half was really dictated a lot by Peyton Barber getting some big chunks of yards. So, you know, when you're able to do that and you're not turning the ball over, it spells some good things for you. And that's what Winston was able to do. You know, he had a really good connection with Chris Godwin. You know, when we talk about guys who are emerging, you know, we've talked a lot about Chris Godwin and this being his year, you know, how much this coaching staff thinks of him. And, you know, the proof in the pudding of Chris Godwin, I still think, will be how he finishes the season more than how he ends it.
Sure.
But this is such a good start for him, you know. And you know, Jameis said it at the podium tonight. You know, I think it was your question, Rick, where he said, you know, is this, you know, a good step forward in knowing that, you know, eventually you guys are going to have a really good grasp of his offense. And Jameis jumped on it right away and said, yeah, I mean, you know, we don't even have Mike Evans really involved in our offense.
That's right.
We don't have, you know, O.J. Howard really hasn't been
Rashad Perriman. Yeah.
You know, so when you add what's going on now with adding in some of these other pieces, and, you know, that they all kind of got to come together at the same time, right? But, you know, it does tell you that, you know, it can be some, you know, that maybe this offense is heading in the right direction.
Jameis started slow again. He was 1 for 6 last week for 3 yards. Started slow again. I thought what really got him going is what always gets him going, a deep shot to Mike Evans. 41 yards. He got Mike one-on-one outside. He threw a dime. It was a beautiful throw. And unfortunately, Mike has not gotten involved to the extent that you would expect him to be. But boy, you know, that certainly loosened things up. And, you know, the connection he has with Godwin is great. But you're right. You talk to those players. I talked to Chris Godwin, and he said, we're just scratching the surface, man. We're just all trying to figure out where we each fit in this offense. You know, they had 4 years under Dirk Cutter, and they knew what they were. They were a down-the-field throwing machine, if you will, and Jameis did a lot of things outside the pocket and extended plays and ran around almost to his detriment at times. Now he's trying to play within the structure of the offense. We still haven't seen O.J. Howard really involved. We haven't seen Cam Brate that much yet.
Right.
Maybe one catch on Thursday night. And yet, you know, that's why they only scored one touchdown. I mean, you know, this football team is not scoring points on offense. They could have easily lost this game. They had a chance to put it away. Matt Gay had missed the field goal. They come back down the field. A touchdown makes it at least an 8-point game at that point. Instead, they have to settle for a field goal. Gay did come back and make one after that. And they really gave, I don't know, they gave Carolina every chance to take this game. And I'm still dumbfounded that they hung together enough to snuff out this play on. I mean, 4th and 1, really? I mean, you know, that with Christian McCaffrey back there. But, you know, in talking to Hargraves, he said, look, 1 or 2 people were going to get it. Either Cam was going to keep it or Christian McCaffrey was going to be given the ball. And he just sat there and he said he came right to me. So it's a big win for them. I mean, I didn't see it. You picked them to win. Bruce Arians singled you out for picking them to win. In a cool scene after the game, I don't know if you've seen the video, but I guess they gave the game ball. First of all, a coach wants to give a game ball to Kevin Minter for coming in and playing big, and Devin White greeted everybody.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everybody at the locker room door. But then Jason Light presented the game ball to Bruce Arians, and that's a special moment for a head coach. You know, you think about all the years that he's coached, right, starting going way back to Temple. This is only his, what, fourth head coaching job. I mean, his third in the NFL. He took over from Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis when he got sick. He coached at Arizona, so he got his first wins there. And now he gets his first win with the Buccaneers, and a big one, too. Like, this is the sort of win that you look up and you go, oh, that really got them going. Now, we'll see what Carolina is, right? I suspect they have some issues, and Ron Rivera is going to have to answer for some things, and so is Cam Newton, who hasn't won a game now in quite a while. But this was so big, just for the psyche of this team, this coaching staff. And I'm telling you, Todd Bowles has already got my vote for assistant coach of the year. I've always said this to people. If you don't think coaching matters in the National Football League, take a look at the difference in 8 months between a Bucs defense that was giving up 29 a game to just the way these guys are flying around right now. They look like a different team.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, 29 points a game last year, right?
Oh, my
you know,
God.
I mean, like, we saw it. These are a lot of the same guys on the field, you know.
They really are. I mean,
that we saw totally missed tackles, looked like they weren't even in the same region of some of these guys when they were running some of that RPO stuff.
Right.
And tonight it was disciplined. It was just on. They were on their feet. They were fast to the ball, and they made the Panthers uncomfortable. It was the exact opposite of the last time we were here last year, whereas the Bucs were entirely uncomfortable. They had no idea what they were doing, because the Panthers were running them all over the place. And, you know, you mentioned, you just going back a second to Arians, and, you know, it's interesting because we're still getting to learn this guy a little bit, right? And we kind of see when he's upbeat and when he's tight, you know? And I felt that kind of leading up to this one, he was tight again, you know, short week. You know, he was kind of short with his answers a little bit, and not dismissive of any of our questions, but a little short. He just wanted to kind of get to business. And after the game, you kind of saw him let loose a little bit. You know, he talked about how, you know, this stadium in itself has been a tough one for him.
Oh, it has.
The two times that he was coaching the Cardinals and lost in the postseason was here at Bank of America Stadium, including one with a shot at the Super Bowl on the line where they lost big. And so for him, even in itself, he was like, you know, this is big because, you know, just even for me. And I think it's cool for a coach to show that side, because so often there it's kind of, you know, it's one game at a time. But, you know, it was kind of cool to see him relish it a little bit and kind of show that we're watching the replay right now, the pylon cam.
So crazy how close this ball was to being a first down. Of course, he got the yard marker and, you know, he extended it out over the out of bounds line. But, man, that was so close.
You think if McCaffrey extends the ball a second quicker over while he's still in bounds,
exactly,
he might have gotten it. Because Hargraves is, at that point, he's just trying to push him out of bounds.
That's right.
You know, and if he can just get – I mean, we've seen the biceps of Christian McCaffrey.
He's,
you know, and I'm sorry, but, you know, I like Vernon Hargraves as an athlete, but man on man, I'm taking McCaffrey every time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so at that point, Hargraves is just trying to get him out of bounds, so –
yeah.
What a play by Hargraves. And then, like I said, it's great to see these guys kind of coming into their own. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, there's never a perfect game, right? There was a time when we were looking at each other, and Jameis, I think, got sacked, you know, twice in one series, and they were kind of losing a little bit of the field position game. I think it eventually led to the safety. And we're like, they're going to lose this game still. They
absolutely.
They still could lose this game. But you know what? I like the fact that this team – overcame some adversity. They didn't play the perfect game.
Right.
There were a lot of moments where things could have gone their way downhill really fast.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when in the past they have gone downhill really fast, and they were able to make those plays when they really, really needed them to.
That's the first Thursday night victory by Jameis Winston in his career. We mentioned Godwin. He finishes with 8 catches, 121 yards, and a TD as we watch again the NFL Network showing the replay of this game. I don't know what's more surprising, that the Bucs came up here and win or that the Carolina Panthers are 0-2. Ron Rivera did not finish the year good last year. This is not the way they wanted to start. You know, the NFC South is usually going to be a pretty competitive division. The Saints won their first game in a dramatic fashion. I was asked this question about, you know, not that the first week is a liar, but many times it is. But everybody seemed to just dismiss Jameis. And the one thing I know about him is he's a people pleaser. And he's been through these things before where turnovers don't go his way, where he's not protecting the football. And that's been his MO all along. But he always finds a way to fight his way back. You know, yeah. The one thing I like about him, and Bruce Arians said to him before the game something that you wouldn't expect. He said, go out there and let it rip. You know, like, he completely, like, understood, hey, it's one game. You got to bury it. You got to look forward. We got 16 of these. You can't dwell on that one. And I credit Winston for being able to compartmentalize that, because you can't completely drown out the noise that is out there about his career and his future, and sort of what people think about him at this juncture. So for him to go out there and play at least a clean game, again, they weren't great. They ran the ball. They didn't run it with Ronald Jones this time. They ran it with Peyton Barber. I'm impressed by their offensive line in terms of their run blocking, and I'm impressed by their defensive line, the way they're playing the run. Levante David is off to a good start. We got to see their young safety Edwards played as well, and that was something to watch. What happens if they can get Devin White? Now, I'm a little worried about him, because you hate to see a rookie drafted that high. First game he's sick, now he's got the knee. I think they're probably going to slow play this and make sure that he's completely sound before he goes back on the field.
Right. Well, the good thing is now, because you did play on Thursday night,
you got
kind
some
of
rest.
Almost have a mini bye almost.
Yes.
You know, the team won't practice tomorrow.
Right.
They won't practice Saturday, won't practice Sunday, probably not Monday either.
No.
So they actually get like all these days off, and those are great for recovery. You know, in the grand scheme of things, maybe you want that a little bit later in the year. But for them right now, because they did get banged up, Devin White, Mike Edwards, Jameel Dean, a bunch of guys got
Jameel
banged
Dean
up.
Jameel Dean might have been hurt a little bit.
So, you know, you've got, you know, all that stuff. And you know, like you said, maybe this is coming right around the right time. You know, Rick, we look at – I know we've discussed this a lot, especially after the San Francisco game. You know, you look at this and you say, how big this game was, you know, and coming back on a short week. The players in the locker room talked about how that was great for them because it gave them a short memory. They could just get back on the field and forget about what happened against
San Francisco.
If you
lose, you want to do that. You want to play right away.
And so, but, you know, I think we also kind of looked at, you know, we've kind of compartmentalized this season into different areas, right? And
yeah.
You know, we've looked at the big stretch of them going on the road. And I think we've talked about, you know, if they go into that stretch 2-1,
feel pretty good.
You know, you got to feel pretty good about themselves. You know, obviously, at the end of that stretch, I think we're talking, you know, if they're around 4-4 or something like that, then they play a lot more of their games at home, and you know, the schedule gets a little bit more friendlier to them. What kind of team we look at that point. But you know, so here we are. We're 1-1 now. Obviously, you know, the Giants aren't going to, you know, be a cakewalk by any means.
No.
But you know, I do, and Saquon Barkley offers a whole different, you know, list of challenges as much as Christian McCaffrey did. But you know, you've got to look into this game. The mentality of this team having won this game has to be so much different than had they lost this game.
Absolutely.
And it's beyond the numbers of like 0-2 versus
no, it would have been same old Bucks.
It's just same old Bucks.
Yeah.
You could see that. I mean, like, I don't know if you saw this, but you know, we were actually sitting in front in the press box in front of Jason Light. He was right behind us. And when the tension of that replay of the Hargraves play, they're all looking at that board.
Eating them alive.
And when the call stood, I heard a big bang on that table behind us. And you know, Light was one of the first guys in front of the locker room when everyone came down, shaking everyone's hand, giving people hugs. You know, as you said, Devin White was right there. We talked about how much this meant to Arians. So, you know, everyone's kind of all in on this ship right now. They're feeling good about each other. They have a long time to think about it. They got some time to rest. And, you know, they'll actually probably have the best version of a preparation week, actually, than they've had.
Even for
preparation for the home opener.
They'll have a normal week. They'll have more time to heal up. And you're right. You know, in years past, they would have lost this football game. And I think there's something to be said for the resiliency they've shown. Here's what's impressive about them so far. And I go back to Todd Bowles. What he's done on defense with this group that's still learning this defense has been remarkable in a short time. If you're allowing one touchdown in a game, you're gonna win a lot of games. The other thing is, what Arians is here for is offense.
Right.
He's been successful on offense wherever he's been. If these guys ever figure it out, if Jameis Winston, you know, can get his on the same page as his receivers and become confident the way he was under Dirk Cutter's offense, this thing could blow up because they were the top passing team in the NFL last year. And if they get anywhere close to that again with the way they're running the football, with the way they're playing defense, special teams has been okay. You know who had a good game? Bradley Pinion.
Yeah,
Bradley Pinion punted the ball extremely well.
Field position was so huge in this game, yeah.
It really was. And, and guys made plays. And I think that's what you want to see at this juncture. But he's dialed up the right plays. He's dialed up the right blitzes. They're getting the ball out. You know, that play by Anthony Nelson we're watching on the replay is huge, you know, for a guy that didn't even participate in the preseason, or training camp. I mean, all these things are big. Not so good was the safety, of course, that they got in the end zone. That could have been even a sack, a fumble, and a touchdown. Look, when you win a game in this league, it's hard to do. And I bet you Ron Rivera right now is not too happy with where he sits because they've got only six more games at home. They've lost two of them already. And the pressure that was on Cam Newton, who's not as mobile as he used to be, I think this guy's not the same quarterback.
Yeah.
He's leaned out, number one. He's a vegan now. You know, he looks like a freaking, I don't know, a bodybuilder as opposed to a football player. He's a huge guy to begin with. He's not accurate. You know, he's got a bunch of guys that don't have that huge catch radius like he's used to, right? Guys like Curtis Samuel, some of the smaller players. And so, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's not the guy. Father Time gets all of us, but he's just not the guy that he was when he was running and throwing the ball on the run and doing all those super cam type things. So, look, this division, Atlanta looked bad in their opener. We'll see what they do on Sunday. New Orleans is New Orleans. I think they're still the top team in the division. But a win like this, if you follow it up and you start stacking them, and that was the message Bruce Arians had to his team after the game. He goes, guys, we need to stack these wins. We need to start getting on a bit of a roll here. And if they can do that against the New York Giants 10 days from now, that's going to be a huge thing. So it's late. It's early. You got a plane to catch in about an hour. I got one in about 2 hours. Hopefully we'll see everybody back in Tampa. Meanwhile, the Rays lost. I know that's something on people's minds. Unbelievable that they've lost two games now to that group. But
yeah.
You know, the wild card race is tightening up. That's going to come down to the wire. So, for my buddy cop Eduardo Encina, hope you guys stayed up, watched this game. Hope you enjoyed it. It's a big day for the Buccaneers and Bruce Arians, and he now has his first win. All right, it's been quite an eventful trip to Charlotte. Of course, we're going to try to make our way back. Bruce Arians will talk this afternoon about the Bucs' win over the Carolina Panthers and get you ready for their game against the New York Giants in about 10 days. So they get a mini break off. As we mentioned, the players are off for the next 4 days. They'll come back to work on Tuesday. So a good chance for them to heal their bodies. This is why players actually love these Thursday night games. As much as you hear people complain about them, it's not the players because they get 3 days where they just get to have walk-through practices. They don't put any taxing on their bodies. They do have to play the game, and that's a difficult thing sometimes. But then when they're done playing it, they get a little mini bye week there. They get 4 days off in a row, which is really good for them to get away and do some things with family and whatnot and heal up their bodies. So
They'll be back on Tuesday. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Rays saw their wild card race tighten up a bit as they lost again to the Texas Rangers, 2 out of 3 there. So they're now moving on to play the Angels out in Los Angeles. That series begins today. And, you know, of course, we'll recap all the college football over the weekend when we get back on Monday, as well as get you ready for the Bucks and the New York Giants coming up the following Sunday. So a very sleepy, sleepy Charlotte here early in this morning for Eduardo Encina. I'm Rick Stroud, and for Steve Burstink of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great Friday, everybody.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.